The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host, joined as always by MTM's managing editor, Mark Osterman, and from As the Joe Flies, travel agent extraordinaire, Joe Chung, who managed to get my cruise booked this week without too many problems, even though he broke the credit card payment processing. But you're a great travel agent, Joe, and I really appreciate your help. Just to start off the show.
I knocked it out for all of Royal Caribbean. It was pretty amazing. So, yeah, it was annoying. I was worried they were going to double charge your card, actually. They didn't, right? Or you haven't checked?
I haven't checked. Yeah, I'll double check it.
I'm worried.
Although I will say, Joe,
I always worry about everything. That's why I like, I double check things for people.
I will say Joe upset me because he miscalculated my tips and told me a price that was lower than it was supposed to be because I was trying to hit that Amex offer.
Once it's quoted.
I know.
Once it's quoted, you should hold them to it. It's like a law.
Hey, it was just the tips I miscalculated, okay?
So it's a big week. Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the World Cup. I know in an hour or so from when we're recording this, the World Cup is kicking off for the U.S. team, the U.S.
Yeah, if the U.S. loses, I'm just not going to release this episode at all. So, but yeah, it is Thanksgiving.
Is anybody from Wrexham AFC or whatever on the Wales team?
They're too far down the.
Dang it!
They're too far down the. Zone.
They got a couple good players. Come on.
Yeah, but anyway, banter gotta do it. The Jets suck. I am glad though that the Lions. Yeah. Beat the Giants.
Anti-Giants
fan. But just for those of you who don't know, the Jets and the Patriots probably played one of the most incompetent offensive games in history. It was like 3-3. And then the Jets had the ball with 2 minutes to go, but because they are chicken you know what, all right, they just ran the clock out and were like playing for the tie and, got to fourth down with 30 seconds left. Which, by the way, it was a 3rd-and-1, and they didn't run the ball. Like, if you're bleeding the clock anyway, just run the ball. Anyway, walk off, punt return, touchdown, pretty much. I mean, there was 2 seconds left on the clock.
I can top that, Joe.
Of course you can, but it's just – and what I want to talk about, Mark, which you don't know, is you don't know the coin, man. So some Jets fan at the beginning of the season, like, flipped a coin for all the Jets games this year, and the coin is undefeated right now, 10 games. 6-4 has predicted them all. And so this insane
what
coin.
What was the final season prediction from the coin? Do you know?
11-6, which is nuts because the coin has us losing to Chicago next week, which makes us 6-5. And then we run off 5 in a row.
Chicago's so bad.
And then we run off the 5 in a row. I wanted Justin Fields, though. Zach Wilson, just garbage.
They're both not good.
At least Justin Fields can run. Zach Wilson.
True.
There are all these clips of him today just missing wide open receivers and stuff like that. But anyway, the coin has the Jets going 11-6 and losing in the AFC Championship game. So if the coin, I'll believe in the coin until the coin steers me wrong, because AFC Championship game would be a dream, obviously. But anyway, okay, yes. Enough football for me.
Okay. So Michigan State football was playing for a bowl game this weekend, and they're up 24-7 at halftime, and they lost. They end up losing in overtime. Their kicker misses a 20-yard field goal. It was awful. But the really sad thing is they lost to a bad team, up 21 points at halftime. Guess how many passes the quarterback from the other team completed for the entire game?
12.
One? For six yards.
Oh my God.
And then in overtime, he completed another one for 25 yards. So he completed two passes.
That's Zach Wilson number.
He was like 2-for-9 for the game. And yet they scored 38 points somehow. Like, they're going to run. They can't throw it. Why are you not stopping? Oh my gosh. It was like, I wanted everybody fired.
Speaking of fired, Joe, let's talk about Disney for a second, with Bob Chapek getting fired or being forced to resign.
We didn't even plan whatever. That segue, people. That's how good it was.
We really didn't.
Sean is.
I just heard the word fired. I look for opportunities.
You know, it's like been 150 plus episodes. Sean is just a master at this now. Dude, let me tell you guys, like between, I just want to be clear. People on Thursday night, everyone was like acting like Twitter was ending. It was like end of the school year. People signing each other's yearbook stuff. I think everyone knew deep down that Twitter wasn't going to die, but it was like that was, you know, that's why Twitter is so good, because you can just like revel in the drama and just all the jokes and memes coming out. Well, between that Thursday night and Bob Chapek getting fired, Sean, I don't know if you've seen this news yet. You guys were recording MTM Vegas when this broke. But apparently Chapek was supposed to introduce the Elton John. There was an Elton John live concert on Disney Plus last night. We're recording on Monday. It was last night on Sunday. Chapek was supposed to introduce it and was fired like 5 to 10 minutes before that. And he found out, you know, I'm fine with, they are human beings in the end. He has millions and millions of dollars that he's going to be fine with. But just as a human to be like fired right before you're supposed to introduce Elton John, and obviously had no idea it was coming. So for those of you who don't know, Chapek is out.
Who gets fired on a Sunday? That's like from Friday, the movie. How do you get fired on your day off?
You know why, Mark? Because Disney stock closed at $91 on Friday, and it opened at $100 today. That's why you fire someone on a Sunday.
It is strange, lie. Though, the week of Thanksgiving, right? This is a very strange time to fire a CEO of, I think, what are they, the biggest media company or the second biggest or something like that?
I mean, they own yeah. Fox now, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. But just quickly before
they own Sean Fox talk. And ESPN. That's
yeah,
so
yeah, they own like so much stuff. They don't own they do not own Fox Sports, but they own Fox's movie stuff. And they don't own Fox News. But for those who don't know, Bob Iger was like CEO for 15 years and he kept not being able to leave. People are comparing it to Steve Jobs. It's the same idea. Like now he's left, but now he's back. So it's just Twitter was insane 4 days straight. What do you
think
do?
The prices come down?
I don't know. We can check while Sean gives us. I'll check while Sean gives his thoughts.
Yeah, I think Iger coming back is really good for the Disney company overall. I mean, he wasn't a perfect CEO, but what he did was really grew this company, and their market cap grew 5x in that 15 years. He's the guy who bought Marvel. He's the guy who bought Lucasfilm, which is Star Wars. He's the guy who bought Pixar after his predecessor, Michael Eisner, pissed off Steve Jobs and kind of soured that relationship. And then his big sort of crown jewel was Fox acquisition, which was, what, $71 billion? They took on a ton of debt, which is one of the things that's really hurting the company. And to bring it to the miles and points space, because I know a lot of people out there go on Disney trips and it's important to them. And, you know, the guest experience really hasn't been what it used to be. And of course, Disney fans have been very vocal about that. But I've talked to a lot of people who are not Disney fans who sort of express that they notice it too. And so I think the first thing you're going to see is really some reversals of policies that have been very unpopular. I don't think that Disney is going to go back on charging for Genie Plus, which is their paid fast pass now. I don't think you're going to see some of those things to back revenue out, but I do think they're going to focus more on the guest experience. And I wouldn't be surprised if the board really looked at surveys. Disney's really big on doing surveys, gathering feedback. And as you said, their stock price is basically at, you know, significant historic lows. I think it hit its 52-week low last week. So it's been interesting. But Iger coming in is interesting because he knows the company, right? He was the chairman up until like
How
a year
old
ago.
Is he?
He's 72, I think. So he's
Iger 72. That dude looks so young.
He looks great, man. He's all about
Botox. Is serious stuff. Man. I take back anything negative I ever said about them. Whatever. I'm never.
You get a shot in your legs, and then you won't sweat, so you won't need the glide anymore.
Great idea. Which by the way, I'm going to start wearing my winter hats because of this uninsulated room. So you know, the 2 months that the nice weather is over now. But yeah.
Joe's back to the extremes of weather in his podcast studio. But yeah, I think Iger knows everybody. He knows all the members of the board. He's worked closely with all the upper management. And Chapek really came in after Iger, tried to change everything. Their relationship soured. Iger, I wonder how much he had, you know, to play with this in the background, how many backroom conversations he was having through the last couple months.
Did he pick the guy to replace him? Or
he did, and he basically... I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but I just laugh when it's awkward. He basically implied that he picked the wrong replacement for himself in an interview like a few months ago. Now, Sean.
Oh, before they fired him.
Yeah, yeah. And Sean, like, I guess you haven't seen this news yet, but like apparently they, I don't know like if they had casual conversations before, but they did not start talking to Iger about it until this weekend. So it was like 48 hours they start talking to him. I read someone report that he only had 12 hours to decide whether to take the job or not. So it was all pretty sudden. It's like to the point where I'm like, did Chapek do something unsavory that like made them, you know, want to get, were they getting out ahead of it? I don't think he did. And ultimately the board made the right decision. But for those who don't know, like they extended him 3 years for 3 years, 3 months ago. And so they're really going back and he's getting a big severance. But if you have Disney stock or like any index stock or something like that, like with a company that big, the face of that company has a big difference on whether people trust the company or not. And even if Iger does the exact same policies as Chapek, he's just a better communicator. He's more like the cast member. I'm sure you've seen this, Sean, but you know, people normally say nice things about bosses when they leave, just in case they have to work with them in the future or anything like that. But I have not seen a single nice thing about Chapek. Like, it's just a lot of relief and like joy and like high fives and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously it was just not a good fit. At best, that's what you could say about Chapek's time as CEO at Disney.
And for his sanity, I hope he doesn't go online and read Twitter and the comments, because it was pretty much universal joy, I think, in the business community, in the sports community, because of the ESPN tie-in. I don't think Chapek was popular among any segment. Of course, the Disney theme park fans hated him.
I follow movie Twitter, too. Movie Twitter was, like, very into the whole thing, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He focused on profits over experience. And I don't think Bob Chapek understood the brand in a way that Bob Iger does. Even if Iger is a realist, he's not going to reverse everything to make everybody happy. But it should be a better experience. I think there's going to be more focus back on the experience in the parks for people who are going to visit there. We'll see long term. But Iger is the one who sort of went in to parks like California Adventure and spent $1 billion to redo it. He sort of understands the experience has to be premium in order to charge these prices, whereas Chapek sort of chipped away at a lot of that over the last couple years during COVID. And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But good news for Disney fans. I think it's going to be good news, everybody out there, for your next trip, or at least in the long term. I don't see Disney getting cheaper, but at least with demand where it's at now. But I think we could get a better experience overall, and that you might have people start caring about the bottom line when it comes to the experience. Disney missed estimated earnings, what, by 48% or something like that, mainly because of Disney Plus. So there's a lot of moving parts here, a lot of moving parts for
Disney Plus. Just brings out crappy show after crappy show. That's why.
And well, they're spending $30 billion.
Not just one more episode. It's all
dude.
Junk.
The finale is on Wednesday. It is gonna, like, by the time you're listening to this, hopefully you've already watched the Andor finale. It is gonna be great. Mark just does not appreciate art.
It took 8
episodes
to get to something interesting. Cool.
Just doesn't appreciate true art and true cinema. Stock is still at $97, by the way. So it's up quite a bit today. I mean, that's like just the positivity behind the business. Like, every community trusts Iger to a certain extent. Even if people complain about him, you know what you're getting, and it's at least not like Chapek was just. I mean, people called him Paycheck, right? He was just a numbers guy, which, you know, I think he probably, like, while Iger was in charge, Chapek did a lot of the money things that made Disney a lot of money. I think he's just great in those positions that aren't as forward facing. But in terms of face of the company with Disney and something like that, like, it's a family company. You got to have someone who, you know, no one's in. Never mind. That's too mean. Continue.
Put it on Twitter, Joe, where all the other people are saying all the mean things about Bob Chapek. Last thing, Bob Iger got a 2-year contract. They're going to work together, him and the board, to find a replacement. So this isn't going to be, he's not going to be CEO for 10 years. As we said, he's fairly up there in age, but still a spry guy. And this time, maybe he gets to redo his pick and find somebody who's a little better for the company. We'll see. But Mark, I wanted to talk to you. You have an update on your upcoming trip. Was it Hawaii? Did you tell us? Was last time we talked, were you still going to Hawaii technically?
Yeah, it was all based on when, if my wife's passport renewal came in time. And on Friday, I got an email that it shipped. So I paid for expedited shipping. So it should be here today or tomorrow, I would guess. So it looks like we're doing the transition to Europe. And my wife's one that does not like to hotel hop or do anything, like just wants to go one place and be there. And I was like, well, this trip ain't going to be that. So are you okay with that? And she said, yeah, I'm way more excited for this. Do Christmas markets. So I spent all weekend searching for flights, found some good flights back using Life Miles on Lufthansa. But flying out, not so great. And we're pretty much locked in on dates. So that makes it tough. And it's only 2 weeks away. So that's double tough. So the flight out that I found so far is Detroit to DC, DC to Dublin, Dublin to Rome. Oh, so wow. It's going to be kind of brutal. And then the itinerary I just sent to her was a couple days in Dublin, fly to Vienna, check out that Christmas market, hop on a train to Salzburg, Austria. And I heard from a friend that that's a really cool town. So check out there for a night, then take a train up to Munich, check out their Christmas markets, then fly home from Munich. So that's, you know, that's a lot of travel in like 6 days or 5 days or whatever it is. It's crazy.
That is a lot.
I said she's going to hate it by the end of the time. I said you're going to wish you went to Hawaii and sat on a beach. That's what we're doing.
Especially all the cold weather too. Like it's going to, I mean, you guys are from Detroit, so you're not, it's not like you're not used to it. Like I would be dying, but just the being out, cause you want to be outside and see things and, you know, it gets a little bit cold.
Rome will be okay. I think it'll be like 50s, maybe high 40s. So that will actually be better than here. But yeah, as we move our way up into Germany and all that, it's, you know, it's going to get colder and be Detroit-esque. But, you know, we'll have the warm drinks, the warm wine and all that stuff from the Christmas markets, I guess, to keep us going. But she's not like high energy. So I wonder, you know, what day does she crash and just say, I can't do it anymore? Or does she power through? We'll see.
After those flights is when she's going to crash. It's too many flights.
That's what's terrible is like you're starting off on such a bad. And I searched East Coast, you know, I searched out of Chicago, Detroit, DC, like everywhere. And I can't find anything that's not, you know, 150K a person or 130K a person. So this was using United miles and Aer Lingus as a part of it. It was like 83,000 a person. Business on the flight over, but then economy from Dublin to Rome. And, you know, not a big deal because intra-Europe business is not really anything besides a blocked middle seat, but I could have booked with Avios and you know, just added on the Detroit to Washington part separately, and that would have been a little bit cheaper, and it would have been business for both those flights. I think it would have been like 68,000 a person, and then, but the taxes and fees were saying $1,500 total, which I think that was just showing wrong online because it should probably be around 150, but I already have United miles from a Quest sign up, so I'd have to transfer everything in for British Airways and then the extra added cost for taxes and fees. So I ended up paying a little bit more, you know, and I've written about this in the past. Sometimes second best is the best depending on what you have and which accounts. And I always try to focus on not transferable currencies if possible and using up orphaned stuff. So that's what's cool about this trip is I'll use United miles have been sitting there for a while, and Life miles have been in there for like 3 years. So, bam.
Do you have the United credit card for the expanded space, or is it just okay? So she even with the expanded space, you're
which
still,
I think that's I think that since this is partners, I don't even know if expanded.
Yeah, that's space. True. That's true. Well, so, I just mean for their own flights to Europe too.
Yeah,
yeah, but
nothing. Yeah, no, yeah. Nothing. Like 155K for most United flights is what I'm seeing for all the other searches I did per person. So it's, you know, it is what it is. I could wait because the Detroit to Frankfurt usually opens up space, but, you know, it's a couple weeks out and I checked like a week before we leave and they haven't opened up any there. So, and that's, you know, a little over a week out. So I'm not so sure that space is going to come.
I'm surprised that it was early December, right? That things would be so busy, but
early, you know, to middle capacity, December.
Capacity still isn't where it used to be. So that could be, you know, fuller flights as people go out there to check out the Christmas stuff, but it sounds like it's going to be a good trip. It's crazy because it's the complete opposite of the Hawaii trip. Like,
and I'm not a beach person, but I'm kind of like exhausted from this year and everything that's been going on. So I was kind of looking for, okay, let's go to one place and just be easy, mellow, chill. And I did all that work to get the live flat over there for the same price, you know, at 50K a person calling in and finagling that out of them. So I put a lot of effort into it. It's the second time I booked it. We booked to Hawaii for our 15-year anniversary, which got canceled because it was August of 2020 or June, somewhere in there, the summer of 2020. So canceled it twice. I don't think I'll ever get her to Hawaii now. So it is what it is. For whatever reason, she's never been excited about it.
So for you, Hawaii will always be Arby's sandwiches on the beach.
I guess.
And nothing else.
I'll take my son. I'll be like, here, we're going to go on this romantic vacation, just you and me, boy. Let's go.
Arby's sandwiches, your true significant other. One thing, do me a favor, Mark. I'm curious. You know how they have like no AC and whatever over there? I'm curious whether like their insulation is just worse. You know how like older buildings and stuff like that, the insulation is just bad. So I'm curious if like it's hotter in the summer and colder in the winter again.
Yeah.
I am sitting in such a room right now. So I'm curious what Europe is like and what your experience is going to be.
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing, you know, is it better because the crowds, especially like Rome, I've never been. So most people go in the summer and it's blazing hot and there's crowds everywhere. And, you know, 50 is still pretty, if we get lucky and it's like, you know, low 50s, that's still pretty comfortable for us. And then, you know, way less crowds and everything. I think it'll be kind of magical, maybe, potentially. We'll see.
I visited Rome in January a while back, and yeah, as you said, the weather was nice. It was a little cloudy, but it wasn't raining or anything, and it was very comfortable all throughout Italy as well, different parts of Italy. So I think you'll be good there. And as you said, the crowds are still there. Like there were still tourists there. Like you know, going to the Colosseum, there's still a line, but it wasn't like the hours long stuff that you see everywhere in the summer. And as you point out, Europe in the summer is great, but like, yeah, it's so hot in certain areas and the crowds get you. I was, you know, just in Paris at the beginning of the summer, right at the beginning of the travel crush this year. And there were so many people everywhere that it just wasn't fun. I was just, you know, the city itself, all those things that you know, those romanticized things about Paris were just sort of like you were just exhausted from the crush of people because everywhere you went, you were bumping into people. It was that busy. So I think going in the off season is a good way to go, especially if you can handle the weather.
I think we're going to shoot for the Colosseum night tour, too, because I guess there's a limited amount of people that can get in and you don't have crowds and stuff. And you get to actually go down and walk, down in the Colosseum a bit and stuff. So I think that would be a really cool, unique experience. Probably be cold as hell, but, you know, we got to do it. And then that'll be after the long day of travel. I'll be like, all right, we got to go out at 7 p.m. and go stand in the cold and walk around this thing. So, man, she's going to hate me so much, but. She had the big, I said, is this cool? Like, you know, it's going to be a lot of stuff. Yep. I'm in. I'm more excited about this. Okay. We'll see. I hope so.
Can't wait to hear all about it. You wrote on the site this week about some issues you're having activating a brand new American Express card, right? And I know you wrote an article on the site. People can go view that. I know a lot of people in the comments had mixed reactions. Some people weren't having this issue. Other people's were. Can you explain what happened and, you know, maybe some advice for people out there who are running into the same thing?
Yeah, so it seems like from the data points that no lifetime language business card offers are running into issues. So, you know, a lot of people said their Business Platinum application had this problem and a couple gold Amex no lifetime language offers too on the business side. So personal cards seem to be fine. But we signed up and you had to log in because it was a targeted emailed offer. It was the one that was 200K if you do 150K from the Biz Platinum after $15,000 in spend, the business checking account will give you $30,000. And then if you do both, you get a $20,000 or 20,000 point bonus. So I did that for me and then for my wife. You had to log in to sign up because it was a email targeted offer and, you know, went through the whole thing. They didn't give me the chance to get an instant card, which I thought was a little bit weird. And then when I got it, I went to activate them. And it said cannot, it didn't even offer to log in. Like you couldn't log into your current account to add it to. It just had us like trying to sign up for a new one. So I said, oh, well, that's weird. It's never worked this way. So I logged into the Amex account and then tried to add it that way, like manually add a card. It said error cannot add. So what they're doing, it seems, is they're attaching all new membership rewards accounts to these new signups. And that's why you can't add it. And it's a whole mess. And some people have been able to get it added to their login. Other people haven't. They created a new login. I was able to get mine via chat added, but it still shows zero membership rewards points instead of the balance like the other card. So I think it got added to my login, which was nice for payment ease, but they're not linked up at all. It said it should be 3 days. It's been like 5 days, still not linked up. So they couldn't figure out how to do it for my wife. So I just set up a new login for hers, but it's a huge mess.
Yeah. I wonder, are they, you know, these offers have been so generous for so long. Somebody tinkering with stuff on the back end, or, I mean, I just wonder how something like this happens specifically to those types of offers.
They always jack up stuff end of year, beginning of year.
But it's just like, it's more inconvenient than anything, right? Because it's still under your name. So even if it's a separate membership rewards account, you can transfer to wherever you want to transfer. It's just like annoying for it to be split up or whatever.
Well, there, yeah. I mean, if you're transferring to travel partners, 100%, it doesn't really matter much. If you want to cash out via Schwab, you can't do that anymore. And then I worried that the, you know, because they're going to post to different membership rewards accounts. So are we going to get those 20,000 point bonuses for doing both things because they're not really linked up anymore? And then do I really even want to fight for that for 20,000? You know, so cash out. And then if you use the Business Platinum, 35% rebate for booking business class flights or the airline of your choice. If it's not linked up to your other account, you can't use those to get that bonus if this is your only Business Platinum card. So there's some annoyances for half the people. It's probably whatever. It's just annoying to pay from a different account. And then for other people, it changes their whole setup and their whole game, really.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, hopefully they get it fixed soon. I have a Business Platinum I'm about to apply for soon.
You might want to push that off a couple weeks. Let this.
Yeah, I'm going to wait. I mean, I'm going to wait for the simmer. Triple dip anyway on the travel credit. So I would figured I was going to wait a few weeks, but yeah. I don't.
So I was going to do the triple dip. I jumped in early because my sister wanted help getting Nintendo Switch at a discount, and they sell them on Dell. So we had $400 in Dell credit covers, the whole thing. So I gave her a really good deal on it. And then I figured, you know, I can still probably pull it off. I'll just wait till January, do the, you know, the airline booking, another Dell credit, and then I can downgrade it to a green, pay the $100. It's worth it. You get $400 and stuff for $100 out of pocket, essentially, maybe a little bit over with the discrepancy in a month or whatever. So, I mean, it's coming out of my pocket a bit more, but it's still possible. And I did it solely because they were in stock on Dell and I didn't want to wait to a couple weeks into December and have it not be in stock. So, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, as they say.
And just to backtrack, the triple dip just means if you get like a platinum card or a card with credit like that in towards the end of December or in December, you can get the credit in December of this year and then the credit for next year. Then you can get a credit for the year after that right before or when the annual fee hits and, you know, you can decide what to do with the card there. So you can sort of optimize it that way. If you're thinking about applying soon anyway, you know, it might be make sense to wait if that works for you. If it doesn't, and there's like to your point, Mark, I think that's great advice. If there's other things that you need to do or that it's going to work, just apply for the card and get it. I don't know that this is worth messing with all your plans to get that triple dip, but if it's in within your plans, it's always nice to do it if you can time it right. So it's that good time of year to do that. Triple dipping and Southwest Companion Pass, getting ready for that. Those are what I think everybody in the hobby is doing right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of a throwback to our previous episode where we talked about timing applications and how it can really increase the value you get and, you know, playing the next level of the game, basically.
Speaking of throwbacks, you ready for Joe's stupid story of the day? Miles and points related. So I got this letter, guys, and I'll show you, even though no one can see. And it was from Citi. You know, I have an old Citi checking account from like, remember back in the day where like getting Citi Gold was good or whatever? And so I have it. I've had it for, I don't know, 8-10 years now. And they sent me a letter 60 days ago saying, if you don't do a mobile deposit or something, we're going to close the account and your money's going to go to the state or whatever. And you got to, what are those websites where it's like www.lostmymoney.com?
Yeah, we have an article on it. Yeah. So people can check. Yep.
Well, then this week I got a 15-day notice and I was like, okay, I got to handle this now. So I went to go log into Citi. I haven't logged into Citi for a while. I went to go log into Citi and they were like, you need to activate your new debit card. And I have no idea where it was. So I didn't have my debit card, couldn't log into Citi, couldn't make my mobile deposit. I was just thinking about like, you know, I tried to call, but then like when I called, like I didn't have my debit card. So, you know, it was just like a mess. And I was like, oh no, are they going to actually close this account? Am I going to have to go to the Miles to Memories article on how to get my money back from the state? But then finally I found my old debit card and I punched that number in, and they didn't ask for a new expiration or a CVV or anything. So, you know, that worked, but it was just like, once again, like all this stress for like an hour while I was taking care of this to keep the account alive, which I don't even know if I want to keep the account alive, but I just did it so I didn't have to find my money later.
Why didn't you just transfer the money out?
Yeah. Well, now I should just do that now. I don't know why I like leave my money in the account, because like, I don't know what there's no logic. This is the point. The point is there's no logic, lots of procrastination, and once again, caused myself an hour of stress for no reason.
Do you even have a city prestige anymore?
I don't have it anymore. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Let them close it. Transfer the money out and let them close it.
No, but if they close it, then I got to like wait for it to get to the state or whatever.
I know, but you don't
have... I can transfer out myself now.
Yes.
But, you know, once again, Joe not crossing his T's and dotting his I's has led to unnecessary annoyance and struggle. So, that's my stupid story of the day.
This is a good reminder to never link a Citi checking account to your login with credit cards on it, because it messes everything
up. Where were you yesterday, Sean?
Well, I talked about this years ago.
A decade ago.
Well, had that account been closed, your login would have been zapped, because still add this.
You're right.
This
happened to me. Really stressed about. Yeah.
Yeah, this happened to me a few years ago where I went into I closed the account. And when I went to log in, all of a sudden it started asking me for the debit card number. It wouldn't take any of my credit card numbers. And of course the account was closed, so the debit card was no longer valid. Hours and hours on the phone with Citi. And the only resolution was to create a new login and relink all my cards, because that login was essentially dead. And so
you have to call in to link your thank you account, because you can't do that online.
What's worse,
Citi or Bank of America Business?
It's all pretty bad. Mark, hear what Sean just said? Now I can't even close that checking account because my stupid credit cards are linked to it. So, Sean, you just saved me from being locked out of all my credit cards.
Yeah,
I believe that that's how it works. Yeah.
I think you can still get in, but then if you ever get to that point where it's asking for like a secure thing, it's asking for it'll only ask for the debit card number on the checking account to verify. And that's where you run into the problems. So it doesn't mean that you can't close it. But
guys, it's 2022.
Yeah,
it should be simpler.
Your story also reminds me, I check the lost money every once in a while. Mark said we have the article and I check it. And recently I found M&T Bank from way back in those bonuses in the day I had left. Yeah, I was doing multiple accounts. I forget what the play was with that, but I had multiple M&T Bank accounts and I left one open with my wife and one open with me. And eventually they closed it and sent the money to the state. And thankfully I got it back. So, yeah, keep an eye on your. It wasn't very much money in there. Whatever, just a few bucks to keep it. But
that was you could just get like $200 bonuses over and over and over.
Yeah,
and
so I had so many accounts and I forgot to close one of them for each of us because I don't know. But so yeah, good organization on my end and on Joe's end too. He's just leaving accounts. What's the point of having that account, Joe? At this point,
because now it's attached to his login.
Yeah, I guess.
I should have closed it years ago. But yeah, now I'm like nervous about my login or what. I can't.
Citi, another one that won't let you have your business cards and personal cards on the same login. Like, what's with these banks and making everything so difficult for us?
All right, let's finish on
They want the missed payments.
The breakage. All right, so let's finish on a bright note and let's talk, as we teased last week, about St. Louis and the last Holodome and everything that you did. And I visited the Holodome and did all the same stuff earlier this year. So I waited to talk about it so we can kind of discuss this. You grew up going to the Holodome, right? I had never gone to a Holodome as a kid, so I don't have that same personal connection to it. But you grew up going there and you kind of found that the last location was in St. Louis a while back. And how was it?
Yeah, we grew up there as a couple in Michigan, so we would go there like as a family reunion spot and stuff like that. So a lot of good memories. And for people that don't know, the Holodome's kind of like a motel where you'd normally have like a courtyard in the center, and they just put like a pool and putt-putt and shuffleboard, arcade, ping pong, all this type of stuff right in the center, like a little bar area. And it's open atrium style and the doors open up to it. So the cool thing was if you got like a room that opened up to the pool, you could run into your room to go to the bathroom, and it was really easy. So, you know, a lot of the indoor water parks are kind of you know, owe the Holodome a gratitude and a thanks. So yeah, we do this thing every year, try to, called Siblings and Sons, where me and my sister and our two sons meet up somewhere, go on a trip. So I picked St. Louis mainly around the Holodome. It was in the Holodome, the Holiday Inn is like 30 minutes outside of downtown, and it's right next to Six Flags, but Six Flags had already closed for the year, so we didn't get to hit that. But we stayed downtown the first night at the Hyatt Regency and did the arch, went to the top of the arch, which was pretty cool for them. I had done it last time I was in town. And that's a hotel's a great location for that type of stuff. It's literally like you walk out the front door and there's the arch. So really cool. And then the next morning we woke up and walked over to the City Museum, which is, yeah, the best way I could kind of describe it is like Meow Wolf in Vegas, like just like trippy, weird rooms, tunnels, but even more intense, and it's for kids. So it's like Leaps and Bounds or DZ Discovery Zone. Remember those things? Without ball pits and metal instead of plastic and safety.
So much metal. So much metal.
So you just snake through like these caterpillar rooms and you go down in these caves where it's like dark. I mean, they sell knee pads and headlamps, like the things you use like when you're, you know, working like a carpenter and stuff wears on their head, like the flashlights on your head. They sell those two items. And we saw that before we went in. I was like, oh, man, this is like going to get real. So, yeah, you can go like your kids can go into this one, you know, crawl up this one thing, which is, you know, barely big enough for an adult to fit through, and then just disappear for like 15 minutes. So it's crazy. If you have little kids, it might be a struggle unless you're going to follow with them. If you have bigger kids, just say, hey, in like 15 minutes, meet us here at this spot. And they'll usually find their way back there. But they have a whole thing outside where you can climb up and over and go through airplanes and stuff and way up in the air. It was closed down for the winter outside, which was kind of sad, but inside was nuts. We were there probably 3 hours and we didn't even do the outside. So there's a ton of stuff. It will definitely jack up your knees if you try to get into it at all. Like me and my sister were just trying to leave this one area and we ended up getting stuck to where we had to crawl on the ground through holes and then go up through this caterpillar. So I got out first and took a video of her like scooching through trying to get out. We looked so dumb, but everybody there looks dumb, so nobody cares. But it's just like, it's insane.
So I visited there in 2013. That's the last time I was at the City Museum and had so much fun. I had a lot of people I know through like the amusement park community who always talked about it and loved it. It sort of has that sort of same vibe to it. But I remember leaving there with so many bruises everywhere on my legs because I banged up my legs so bad. I think I was wearing shorts, which is probably not a good idea that it was in the summer. And yeah, there's just metal contraptions everywhere that you're climbing on. And it's just a ton of fun. You just got to go in there and sort of be like a big kid. And for the kids, like, I think this is, you know, I've been to a lot, you know, of kids attractions in this country. And I think this is stands out probably, you know, outside of like really heavy theme parks and stuff as, you know, one of the gems of the entire country, as far as those experiences, it's unique. I don't understand with all the metal and everybody, how they haven't gotten sued, how a kid hasn't really hurt themselves at this place. Cause it really, yeah. I mean, metal is the word, like everything's metal.
Yeah. And if you're claustrophobic, do not go. but they have some that like people are climbing up and it's like a caterpillar or a snake, like it waves back and forth and you climb up this tube tunnel where you can see out. So you're not like trapped, but you are, because there's no exit point. So once you start climbing up this thing, you're in it for like two or three stories. And I'm like, how often do people just like freak out in the middle of this? She's like, oh, like every day.
how like old, how old does it all feel? Like, does it, you know, feel like it was built that long, you know, like what kind of refurbishment? I mean, just like, is it like rickety, you know, what's your feeling?
No, it's really sturdy. I mean, when we were walking up to go down the like 7-story slide or whatever, that area felt a little bit kind of crazy because the railing, and it was a big drop off when you're walking up the stairs, the railing probably came up to like my belly button, maybe a little bit higher than them. Like, man, that doesn't seem very, you know, like,
don't go up drunk, I guess.
Yeah, you should have a little bit more safety here. Like, kids are going to want to like climb up and look over, and I don't know. Like, I was getting flashbacks of like Michael Jackson holding his baby over the balcony. Like, it was kind of creepy, but you know, it was fine. They must not have any issues because they're still open. But yeah, they just had like this one net thing that looked so dusty that it would probably break if anybody fell on it. And that was still like a 4-4 drop before you hit that netting. So I wouldn't trust it at all. I thought it was more to catch like things if people throw something so it doesn't land on people down in the caves or if they drop their phone or whatever. But even the netting was pretty spaced apart, so it didn't even do that good of a job. I don't know. It's crazy.
That slide, if I remember right, was pretty incredible. I remember it being one of the favorite slides I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Just because it's so tall and it takes forever to get down. But yeah, it's a fun place.
Yeah, they
it's
watch it on a video. It takes like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I highly suggest people go out there and Google City Museum and look at it because it's really hard to describe everything. You can describe metal and like this giant play areas and climbing into vehicles. And like you said, the outdoor stuff is incredible too. Like at one, I think there's like this 40-foot curved wall that curves in. They only let kids on this one where there's a metal cage behind you and you're planted between a metal cage at your back and the wall. And you're literally climbing up this wall 40 feet as it like sort of bends in. It's insane.
I saw pictures of that and I tried to find it and I could not find it. And I was like, I'm even looking online. I'm like, I know that I saw a picture of this thing because I wanted to see what it was because it looked like, I'm like, this can't be safe. I don't, if you let go, you're going to fall, I feel like. But I couldn't find it at all. So I don't know where that was, but maybe we missed
outside,
the whole area.
So, yeah,
it's outside, okay, that's why.
So, yeah. It's in like a covered area outside. So that's why probably maybe it looked like it was inside, but it is on the outdoor section.
Okay.
But and Sean they even Reese have loved stuff.
They have stuff up on like the ceiling or not on the ceiling, up on the roof that has like a Ferris wheel up there and you're really high up and a praying mantis thing. Like, and that's on top of like a 10 story building, which seems kind of crazy too. So it's like the whole thing has got stuff on it. Now I got to go back. See, now I got to go back in the summer.
Yeah, I'm going back. I'm bringing a group of our Diamond members in June. So we're doing a family meetup there, which is going to be fun, doing Six Flags, the Holodome, and the City Museum. Let's talk about the Holodome again. So I stayed there in the summer, and, you know, the rooms are pretty basic Holiday Inn. I think they've been renovated recently, but nothing too fancy. As you said, it's sort of like a motel where they attach this old school water park or something like that. My room didn't face the pool. I guess I was too cheap, Mark, and I didn't get upgrade. Although with my Diamond status with IHG, you would think I would get a pool room, but no, I just got a regular room. And so it's like it had an entry to the parking lot on one side, kind of like a motel, like in one door on one side of our room. And then the other door had an interior to the hallway, which brought you to the pool and stuff, which was a little strange. But yeah, it's just like they dropped this motel with the thing. But I really love the Holodome. My friend Dave and I hung out there, played pool. You know, there was just a lot of activity with families in the pool. And yeah, I like the architecture of the building too. It's got this sort of like medieval, sort of old school fancy vibe to it, the lobby and everything. And it does sort of feel like when you walk into that dome where the pool is and all the activities are, it really feels like you're traveling back in time. It doesn't feel like it's from this time yet. You know, it feels familiar, but like something from a different era.
90s, baby. 80s and 90s. Yeah, I really like it because, you know, we could just walk out our door and they have all these plastic tables and chairs and stuff for people to sit down and have drinks or play games. People were playing board games on them and stuff. And me and my sister could just sit there and chat and the kids could run all around and you're all in the same big room. So they could be swimming. You could kind of see them in the pool or they could be at the arcade. You could see them besides a little bit of blocked areas, but you could just kind of let them roam and they're both 11. So they have a little bit more freedom than if it was like a 6-year-old or whatever. But you know, that kind of is a throwback to when we were kids where people were a little less helicopterish and you go to a hotel and the parents are like, yeah, go to the arcade, go wherever. And you just kind of run around. So you get to experience that, but you're still, you know, within an earshot of them. So it's kind of cool. And, you know, I loved every minute of it. That was the whole basis of the trip, even though it wasn't like the highlight of the trip. And, it did throw me back to kid, you know, back to being a kid. And I love that I got to share that with both of them. And they both loved it a lot and were like, this is awesome. This is cool. And the rooms are updated. I thought they were fairly nice and, very clean. Everything in the hotel seemed very clean. So one of the cleaner hotels I probably stayed in the last year or two, which is kind of crazy to say, but I think I paid 24,000 IHG points a night, for each room. And then the cash rates are between 1 and 200, I think most times. So pretty affordable. And then if you're going to Six Flags, you can't beat that location.
Yeah. I think this is just a good reminder that St. Louis is a pretty incredible family travel destination.
And cheap.
Yeah, it is. And so you have the Gateway Arch, which is incredible, great views. And it's one of those iconic, you know, landmarks in America. You got the City Museum, which is so much fun. They have the baseball stadium down there. They have that huge park, which is a little bit outside downtown that used to hold the World's Fair. I forget what that is, but tons of activities and museums there. And then, you know, the Holodome is really cool. And as you point out, Six Flags, and this is one of the three original Six Flags parks before it became this corporate conglomerate. So it's an old school Six Flags park, a little bit on the smaller side, and it has a lot of that sort of history to it. It's a nice park. So, and you could walk there in 2 minutes from the Holodome. So if you're considering like a place to take your kids for a weekend or a good family travel destination in the U.S., I think St. Louis should be high on your list. City Museum is one of a kind, definitely worth visiting. And there's tons of other stuff to do depending on your interests. And if you like hotels, if you're a hotel nerd, I highly recommend going to the Holodome because it's an experience I had never had before. And I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to going back.
You're
welcome. And the staff. Yes. And the staff. Well, I think I told you about the City Museum.
I'm talking about Holodome. I unlocked it. But there
so
are
we,
some.
We helped each other out with this.
Yeah. And there's an article on the site about Holodomes and stuff. And people have shared other places that maybe they're not even Holiday Inns anymore, but they still have the same features and stuff. So there's probably like 15 to 20 throughout the U.S. scattered, not all Holiday Inns anymore, but you know, there are those options there. And the main reason that they stopped is because the humidity, and you walk in there and it smells like chlorine and it's very humid. The humidity just like destroyed the buildings and ate away at the wood, and it was just hard to upkeep. So that's why they stopped doing it. And that's why they have indoor pools just in a smaller room. But there are still some out there, and I'm glad that they kept them open and alive.
Absolutely. Staff there was great too. Like you said, it's clean, really nice bartender there. So you can have your drinks while the kids are in the pool. Yeah, I liked everything about that. So I'm glad you did too. And yeah, go to St. Louis. And, you know, I think that's a good way to end this show, this Thanksgiving week show. I know I'm planning on enjoying the week, trying not to get too overloaded with Black Friday deals because they're so scattered. So I don't even, like, it seems like there's deals every single day now. So I know Mark will be covering that on the site. This comes out on Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving. And if you want to check out the latest Black Friday deals, what we find, make sure to check out milestomemories.com. You guys doing anything fun for Thanksgiving?
They both trying to watch this game, man. I'm dying.
Wait, the game is for 8 minutes, right? When is the game starting?
I need time to get ramped up for the game, okay? I'm already I'm on pins and needles. I got to go. As Joe Flies, Joe, all over social media. Check me out there. All right, I'll see you all.
See ya. No, we are just doing, going to the in-laws. Well, my wife's aunt and uncle's place, and the in-laws will be there and stuff. So just heading over there, so we don't have to cook anything or do any of that stuff. So that's nice, but you know, being in and out like 2 hours, I'll be looking at my watch and saying, all right, let's go. It's time to go. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Detroit Mark. Email me Mark at Miles to Memories or come in on the articles there and I'll get back to you. How about you, Sean?
Joe, you're so funny. You were hoping for a short show this week and we delivered a nice long one for you. So I hope
it's actually fine because it eases my nerves to be busy, but now we're so close to the game. I got to go.
All right.
So, yes. Where can we find you, Sean?
Yes.
I won't go until it's actually over.
At Miles to Memories all over social media. If you like our Vegas stuff, Mark and I do our Vegas show twice a week, youtube.com/Miles to Memories. Blowing up over there. Finally, after we struggled for so many weeks to get subscribers, we picked up like a ton in the last couple weeks. So thanks to everybody who watches and subscribes. All of our stuff, posts, podcasts, videos, everything we do, milestomemories.com. Thanks so much for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you next time.
USA.
Politic.
Oh my gosh.
Go.
That's what she said.
Oh, Lord. Beep.
Why you make it explicit? Why you gotta make it explicit?
Okay. We're only 2 minutes in.
I put it in subtly.
TWSS.
I just put it in subtly. Everyone already knows the joke. You don't have to do the TWSS part.
Yeah, you do.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.